save faster, borrow smarter, move sooner with CME. Earn 6.5% APY with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus savings account. And when you're ready to buy, enjoy a low 5.1 ARM mortgage rate. Plus, CME pays $750 toward closing costs. Start your path to homeownership today with CME Federal Credit Union. Subject to membership eligibility and approval, APY means annual percentage yield, APR means annual percentage rate. Terms apply. Federally insured by NCUA, Equal Housing Lender. Visit CMEFCU.org for details.
Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
Hey, everybody. I got a great one today. You know, for a change. Harry Littman is my guest. Harry's a former U.S. attorney and deputy assistant attorney general. You may have heard me on Harry's podcast, Talking Feds, where every so often I join Harry and a couple of his other guests. You may have also seen Harry on MSNBC, where he frequently provides commentary on legal matters. So I asked Harry on specifically to talk about the whole scope of potential legal problems facing Donald Trump. Boy, there's a lot there. I was kind of disturbed by the whole timeline on the charges brought by Alvin Bragg. December? But Harry says that might happen faster. The judge could bring it sooner, but still, he was talking September. But according to Harry, other stuff could happen faster, a lot faster. The Mar-a-Lago classified documents case seems to be the one closest to fruition. There's been a number of significantly bad developments there. If you're Donald Trump, a lot of obstruction of justice. And his lawyer has to testify. So that, Harry thinks, may be the first trial and that it's going to be pretty cut and dried and very bad for Trump. Fulton County, Georgia, a couple months ago, prosecutor Fani Willis said charges were imminent. I guess they're now more imminent, and that's going to be a lot of indictments, Harry says. Harry can't imagine that won't include Trump and the phone call to Raffensperger, the one, of course, on audio tape, asking the Secretary of State to give him a break and find 11,780 votes, and then threatening him and his lawyer if that doesn't happen. And there's a lot of shady people caught up in that, so multiple indictments, possibly RICO, racketeering case or racketeering charges. Then there's, of course, E. Jean Carroll, who has alleged that Trump raped her. Evidently, there will be some women testifying to similar circumstances that happened to them. And two women, Carroll says she told about the assault soon after she says it happened. That is a civil case coming quite soon. Then there's the plot to replace acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen with Jeffrey Clark, who is working on a scheme to cast doubts on the election results in order to steal the election. That one's extremely promising. Then the big but complicated enchilada, January 6th, inciting, assisting, or aiding insurrection, disrupting an official proceeding. Those seem kind of solid. Of course, there will no doubt be perjury charges in the trials where Trump is called as a witness. You know, as you go through these, you just think to yourself, what a horrible thing happened when this guy became president. And one of the reasons the Stormy Daniels payoff is so important is that he would not have become president without it. Remember, he had just been caught on the Access Hollywood tape about grabbing women by their genitals, and Republicans were bailing on him. The very last thing he needed was a coming out that he had slept with an adult film actress while his wife was home with a newborn. So this thing changed history, and Harry is pretty confident that that one will lead to convictions on a number of counts. So you'll hear Harry paint a pretty colorful panorama of all the charges that Trump is almost certain to face and how they are likely to go down. Trump's going to be a busy guy while running for president again. Now, this seems at the moment anyway not to be harming Trump in the Republican Party. Quite the opposite. I don't know if that sustains as these things start to pile up, and we don't know when each will hit. But so far, he seems to be picking up support among Republican voters and Republican office holders around the country who just seem to be doubling down on awfulness. In other news this past week, the Tennessee State House ejected two black male state representatives who, along with a third representative, a white female, had attempted to speak on the need for new gun legislation after three kids and three adults were murdered with an assault weapon at a Nashville school. All three of the legislators are Democrats. The Republicans were able to amass the two-thirds majority to expel the two black male reps and fell short, one short, on the white female, putting a lie, I think, to sexism. The Republicans compared what the three had done, which was to echo what some young people who had come to peacefully demonstrate for gun laws in the gallery of the legislature, and the Republican representatives compared it to the January 6th insurrection. It's just getting very crazy and sad. On Tuesday in Wisconsin, voters voted overwhelmingly 55-45 to elect the progressive to the state Supreme Court, giving liberals the majority on the court for the first time in 15 years. The race was clearly about abortion and gerrymandering. Wisconsin is a purple state. In each of the last two presidential elections, the margin has been 20,000 votes or less. Yet, after the 2010 election, which Republicans swept overwhelmingly because of the recession and all the lies about Obamacare, the Wisconsin state legislature became overwhelmingly Republican. And because 2010 was a census year, Republicans used the majority to lock in a crazily partisan map. And now, with a majority state Supreme Court, the progressives in the court can draw a new, actually fair map. Also, after the Dobbs decision, Wisconsin adopted an 1849 law that bans all abortions in Wisconsin, except in cases where the life of the mother is at risk. That issue, abortion, was on the Supreme Court ballot, and the new Supreme Court can reverse that 1849 law. So that's what the Wisconsin Supreme Court race was about. Now, oddly, the Republicans picked up a seat in the state legislature in a special election to fill a vacancy in a very Republican district. And that gives them exactly the numbers of state senators and representatives that they need to get this recall a Supreme Court justice. And a couple of Wisconsin state legislators have floated doing that. So this new progressive justice just elected with 55% of the vote in that election, Republicans are talking about recalling her before she's been sworn in. I don't think that will happen, but the Republican Party has become so anti-democracy. One more. Republican state legislators in Georgia are considering bills that would lower the threshold for recall campaigns against county prosecutors, and there is talk of recalling Fani Willis, the Fulton County prosecutor. This is all very distressing stuff. The Republican Party is creeping more and more and more into areas that I would have considered unimaginable. This is scary. But I think what you'll hear from Harry Littman will be heartening, if also just quite sad. It's a great one, you know, for a change.
Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting in terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
Columbus has trusted Atlas Butler for heating and cooling since 1921. They didn't start out doing plumbing because home plumbing wasn't really a thing yet. Yeah, they've been around a while.
Call 1-800-FURNACE.
Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting in terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
What I want you to do is sort of lay out, because we finally had an indictment, which is the Manhattan indictment. I want you to talk about what that is, but I want to do the whole scope of these and what we know and don't know, mostly don't know, about what the whole scope of these are, which includes, of course, Georgia, possibly, and the documents, and, of course, January 6th stuff, and maybe others. So are you up to that?
I'm good to go, Coach.
Okay. Why don't you give me your general overview of where we are and where we're going in this, what we know and what we don't know. How's that?
For the whole panorama, or you mean Bragg, for starters?
Let's do a whole panorama, okay, with putting Bragg in some small context.
So we'll probably double back to this
absolutely, in
a lawyerly way, because there's a lot of lawyerly going on here. But Bragg has now, you know, brought his case. He really stayed. He's played his cards close to his vest. Really, he hasn't revealed some big questions about where he'll be going. He can do that under the law, and we'll get back to it. But there's a kind of tussle going on, even in the country, between people who want to trivialize it as a, you know, bookkeeping error, or at worst, payoff to one porn star. You never want to be having, you know, untested theory within.
It's not a bookkeeping error. It was deliberate. The bookkeeping error is a bookkeeping error.
And we'll get back to it. But it's normal in the law for the little elements not to be the same as what the evil that you're getting at. And the evil, it's really clear that he's getting at, is an overall scheme to hide important information from the American people that might, in fact, have been pivotal in the election and gotten us Donald Trump. So it's a righteous case in that sense. All right, it is first, but it's going to be, I think,
last. It's going to be in December.
Well, but you want a panorama or not?
Then we can panorama.
Panorama. So it is first. I don't think it will be last, because there's going to be complicated pretrial stuff and a clogged New York calendar.
Okay.
Fulton County it's always been clear she's going to bring charges, complicated charges, against a whole series of people. I think there's no doubt that's coming, and soon. And then just as we've all been in this, you know, breathless vigil in Manhattan, Jack Smith has made some really big strides in both Mar-a-Lago and even of late January 6th. I actually see Mar-a-Lago as the most dangerous, and if not the next out of the gate, I think the first one that will really go to fruition and trial. There's the panorama.
Okay, great. And there's not going to be any New York state prosecutions in terms of tax stuff and money stuff. I know that was a civil investigation, but it seemed like there might be criminal stuff there. I just wanted to include every fucking thing.
Okay, so it is really an important omission on my part. The civil stuff, Al, is quite big. It's, the New York AG won't ripen into criminal stuff because that's not her jurisdiction, but it is ruinous in every way, but, you know, going into the pokey, which is a whole separate question if that'll ever happen anyway. So that is maybe the most immediately dangerous for him. And then E. Jean Carroll is going to trial in a couple weeks. And that's looking, you know, like also really loaded against him. And that could be big. And then there are civil suits, including ones by former colleagues of yours in Congress over January 6 itself that have been green lighted. And those are big. The panorama has to include civil stuff, and especially the New York AG and E. Jean Carroll could be huge. It'll be really interesting on E. Jean Carroll if he tries to just not show up and have a default judgment on liability, because he's going to get so rolled.
Yeah, if he shows up, then maybe that's worse for him.
Right.
Okay. Oh, boy. So that's the panorama. Why don't we explain, and I try to wrap my head around the Manhattan one in terms of the documents and about, I can't even express what it is. It's just that it becomes a felony if he tried to submit documents in a false way or something. Explain it to me.
Yeah. Deep breath for your listeners. And it's not so hard. You've got really straightforward misdemeanor offenses where they took the payments to her, which were hush money, and mischaracterized them, tried to camouflage them as legal services for Michael Cohen. So paid him off over many months, and Trump himself signs the checks, including in the.
And these weren't legal services, technically.
I don't think they were legal services, actually.
Okay, I mean, they were obviously payoffs.
Yeah, and that's how they were, you know, it's totally clear. This is where Cohen starts. Actually, importantly, it starts before then. It starts in 2015 when the head of the National Enquirer and Trump and Cohen get together and say, you know, hey, women are going to be coming out of the woodwork. Here's what we can do. We can so-called catch and kill, buy their stories and never publish them. And they did that with Karen McDougal, a similar story. And then Stormy Daniels was handled differently.
And that testimony, there will be testimony coming from Packer, right? Who is the publisher, probably, right?
Very perceptive. That's right. And I think that's what happened at the end, is everyone was like, what the hell? When's he going to bring it forward? He could have gotten the grand jury to vote, but he wanted Pecker to, you know.
Pecker. Yeah.
Yeah. It's going to be. How can you forget that name? But he. You know, he wanted.
Way to go. Harry.
He wanted to emphasize. This is the point that's important, that he, Alvin Bragg, said at his press conference, you know, he wanted to emphasize the broader scheme, because that's what really gets to the evil to the democracy, that basically, it was to cover this all up. Anyway, hang with me for 30 seconds on the thing.
Yeah.
So the false paperwork anywhere in the ledgers of the Inquirer, in check stubs, but also, you know, more broadly in reports, that's a misdemeanor, a clean misdemeanor. But under New York law, if that is done in furtherance of another crime, it becomes a felony. Everyone's been waiting for a year. What is the other crime, Alvin Bragg? That's supposedly the big difference from when he mothballed it a year ago. And his answer was, I'll tell you later. It's a Delphic indictment that the indictment itself, the legal document, as opposed to the separate statement of facts, just says 34 times they did this in furtherance of another crime, and they don't specify which other crime. Now, it's really clear that there
Hence my confusion and inability to...
And the countries and people and critics, yeah. Right? But he doesn't have to. You know, the law just says you do it in furtherance of another offense.
Well, could those be? Give me a for okay. What would it be? So, I can imagine what they are.
The menu is already three. He went for all of them, but he added one more. And so there are the possibility. It's a federal campaign finance violation. Remember, right. Michael Cohen did time for this. That's a problem, possibly, because it's not clear the New York state law where it says offense includes a federal offense. It's a problem. It's not.
It's a problem for Bragg.
Yeah, it's a problem for all of these have problems for Bragg.
Well, I was thinking of it from Trump's point of view. I feel for the guy, and I thought you were saying it's a problem for Trump, but that's a problem for Bragg.
Yeah, so Bragg had different things that seemed quite a little bit shy of a load, and he just basically said, as he's legally entitled to, but it does make head scratching. I'll choose later, or I can do anyone I want, which is true. But
okay, so what could they be? What could they be?
Emphasize one of them, Al. Give me a sec to say. So there was state campaign finance, federal campaign finance, and a conspiracy for campaign finance. All of them are a little bit tricky, and I won't bore your listeners, but they can all give real arguments that Trump can make. But two points. First, he added one thing, and recall that Cohen paid $130 and was paid back $420. That's because there was another $50,000 he needed to be reimbursed for, and then they doubled it. Why? To make him whole on his taxes. And the crime is stated that you do it with an intent to further another offense. In other words, you don't have to actually have the false tax filing, but you're doing it to monkey around with taxes. That, and I think that's the most solid theory. And he added that one.
Because that's why what's his face is in jail. His business guy.
Weisselberg?
For the tax thing. Same.
Sort of. Yes. I mean, they did. That's true. They paid. It wasn't under this law exactly. But yeah, he's. And in fact, he may figure in this trial. One other important point. You know how Trump loves to delay, and he's had cases in federal court to make him or allies testify that he's been able to elevate to the Court of Appeals, even the Supreme Court. New York law basically doesn't permit it. They'll file motions to dismiss, and they'll also file a motion called a bill of particulars that says, could you please clarify a little so we can prepare our defense? But the judge, the same judge that he said hates him, railroaded Weisselberg, he's the one who's going to decide it. And only after he is convicted from my Mer Shechem, I think is the term I might want to use, would he be able to appeal it? If he's acquitted, it doesn't matter anyway. So I think the deck in terms of appeal and delay is sort of stacked against him.
Okay, not sure I understood all that.
Yeah, well, tell me what you did, because I am trying to make it, but it's three ones that are all a little bit dodgy. And then I like this tax one, because that is obviously why they did it, to do a false tax filing, that it would be a payment and income to Cohen rather than a business expense to Trump Organization.
Okay, so you think that's the most solid, but we don't know yet what they are. But that's what
his position. I have this sort of on the QT, but their position is going to be we don't have to choose ever, and the jury doesn't even have to.
Wait a minute, they have to. It's from the furtherance of a crime. He's got to say what crime it's in the furtherance.
Guess what?
Of.
He doesn't technically. As long as each juror, he's got to give them the evidence on all of them. But as long as each juror finds a crime, it actually doesn't have to be the same one. That's New York law. It's the same thing. Well, that's getting too lawyerly. But as long as everyone agrees, the statute just says offense. If juror one thinks it's tax and juror four thinks it's campaign finance, that's a valid conviction, believe it or not.
Okay, but he's got to lay out campaign finance.
Right. He's got to be evidence for all of it to find beyond a reasonable doubt.
Okay, so he's got to present what it is.
That's right. Or what they are. He's got to present what they are.
Okay, okay. So there's that. And why is it going to be December? That's crazy to me.
It is crazy, isn't it? But it is an important point that when everyone says first out of the box, we should be thinking about this a few months down the line, including Trump, like kind of wounded in the open field, going, you know, as glowering and incensed as he was, you know, multiply it by or geometrically, you know, by three or four. So the New York calendar is very clogged generally. And the next motion, if it were just you and me in a lawsuit for a car accident, would be December. But a judge can set his own calendar. And this guy did. It's not lickety split. But the first motions are due in August with responses in September.
God, you know, in the South, they used to like try someone in the day and then just hang them.
Exactly. If they tried them.
That's right. Yeah. Let's go to Fulton County because I think that might be next.
We think he has said it was imminent, and that was only a few months ago. Yeah. And then she actually said, oh, I meant legally imminent. That's I have a law degree, Al, and I've never heard that phrase. But I just think this. I mean, I said this with Bragg, too, at the end game when everyone was saying, is he getting cold feet? They've gone way. He had gone, had Bragg, way too far. You know, I said 100 times out of 100, this will be an indictment. And if it hadn't been, I'd have had to leave the country. And then it's the same in Fulton County, but except a much bigger case and a kind of microcosm of January 6th itself. What happened over the post-election stuff?
Yeah.
What happened in Georgia? You know, we know that the special grand jury recommended indicting like 15 people. We think it includes some real winners like Mark Meadows, possibly your very good buddy and first guest, Lindsey Graham. You know, it's a big sprawling case, but she's been investigating for a long time and has a whole template from the special grand jury. What exactly is happening in her endgame is unclear, but I'm here to tell you the charges are coming. Trump is a defendant. Another 12 people are as well.
Wait a minute. You said Trump is a defendant. Because I suspect Giuliani. I suspect a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the big question is Trump a defendant in that one? Is he indicted? Because to me, this is one of the clearest cases there is because it's on tape.
We got an audio tape. We prosecutors love audio tape. That you can call it a question. I'm here staking my reputation on saying, yeah, he's going to be indicted. And by the way, that four person of the special grand jury in her weird 15-minute PR tour basically said it includes Trump. So they'd have to totally depart dramatically.
Okay, let me make the case because you're a lawyer, you were a prosecutor, you were in the Justice Department, but I think I can make this case. Okay, he basically first of all says things like I won by more than 400,000 votes, and you know that, or that's what he says, right? Yeah. He says in the tape, he knew by then that he didn't win by 400,000. He'd been told over and over again there was no widespread fraud enough to change an election, right? He's told that. Hutchinson says, don't tell people I lost. It's embarrassing. Or he tells that the Meadows says, but he's lying there. And then he says, all I need, and of course, this is what everyone knows, is he says, all I need is 11,780 votes. And basically, if you don't do this, you and your lawyer on the phone here are in big trouble, right? So that's the case.
Be a crime. And come on, so that you know the sort of placard that the last thing the jury sees, they've written it out. Quote: all I need is 11,780 votes. What's the benign way to interpret that? You know, I pity his lawyer for having to come up with it, especially since, by the way, interesting here and New York, the guy cannot testify. And that creates a lot of constraints for how they can even try to present a defense.
Who cannot testify?
Donald Trump.
Oh, he can't.
The bloodbath of all bloodbaths.
In right? his defense, he can't.
Right. I mean, it would, you know, you take your best 20 of the 3,000 lies. Mr. Trump, you said this. It wasn't true, was it? And please instruct the witness to answer that question. Answer the question. No. Or yes. And it's perjury. But and he's completely uncontrollable and an asshole. And, you know, he cannot testify.
Wait a minute. So, I mean, since he's a defendant, he can choose not to testify. So you, as his
that's
lawyer,
what I mean. There's not a rule that says he can't.
Okay,
there's a rule that says he can. But I mean, forget about it.
I'm very literal.
Yeah, good point. He should not testify with, and should is in capital letters. Any lawyer will tell you this.
I'm not a lawyer, but I played one in a sketch.
Exactly. And you know it.
Okay, so that's what you're saying.
It's hard for it to get in certain evidence without his testifying. It's the kind of arcane, the way the federal rules of evidence work. Yeah.
Wow. So when are we thinking this happens? Imminently.
Exactly.
Okay.
Well, no, let me get to the chase, because I think what we should be thinking is when it goes to trial, not when it's indicted. I think indictment, I'll just say May, something like I won't leave the country if I'm wrong, but about May.
Okay, but it's April now.
Serious pretrial challenges here, including he can maybe get it into federal court. This is the one that'll take easily a year to come to trial.
Oh,
and that's
geez.
Why I'm focused on Mar-a-Lago.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with Harry Litton.
Legislation is changing. Budgets are shifting. And terms like one big beautiful bill can feel anything but beautiful. That's where BHM CPA Group steps in. BHM's purpose is to simplify the complex. Their team is trained to meet today's challenges with real-world solutions in tax, accounting, and business planning. Get the clarity you deserve so that your business can thrive. Don't wait. Visit BHMCPAGroup.com. That's BHMCPAGroup.com. BHM. Because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
All right, remember, the machine knows if you're lying. First statement, Carvana will give you a real offer on your car all online.
False.
True, actually. Oh. You can sell your car in minutes.
False? That's gotta be...
True again. Carvana will pick up your car from your door, or you can drop it off at one of their car vending machines.
Sounds too good to be true, so true.
Finally caught on. Nice job. Honesty isn't just their policy, it's their entire model. Sell your car today, too.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
We're back with Harry Litton. So let's go to the documents. Lately, we've been hearing some really damaging stuff. I thought, like, after they found the documents in Biden's garage and in Pence's bath or wherever they were, I thought, okay, maybe they won't do this. But this is like real obstruction, real hiding, telling people to hide them, right?
Yeah, and they've just developed new stuff. I mean, it has got nothing to do with the accidental, keeping of docs by Biden or Pence. Yeah, right. So, I mean, it's a course of conduct that goes for a couple years until, a year and a half until finally they serve a subpoena on him. But we've just learned of the new evidence they developed that even during when the subpoena is first served, you know, until then, they're bobbing and weaving, trying to delay, definitely not law abiding, but hard to really stick it to him. But that subpoena is served. And we now have evidence, apparently, that he himself, once it's served, goes, looks through the documents, tells people to move boxes of documents. rejects the counsel of many people to just comply. And now here's the really big one. You know, over the last few weeks, Smith has had some killer victories in court. So it's just at the time when he's deciding, it's this crystalline moment that he's going to violate a subpoena. That's just a, especially for DOJ, that is as clean a crime as it comes. And he's talking with his lawyer about it. And his lawyer, they brought him and said, what did he say to you? And the lawyer said, oh, I can't tell you. It's attorney-client privilege. And they took him to court and said, you can pierce that privilege because it was in furtherance of a crime. So we know he's talking to his lawyer, thinking it's confidential, and the communications, which a judge has reviewed, are in furtherance of a crime. And that lawyer had to testify all about it last Friday. That's going to be just incendiary evidence. And he now has it. So it's a clean case. Relatively simple one. And I think it's basically fully developed. I think that's one that is coming soon and that will go to trial fairly soon. And that's the really biggest threat to Trump, because January 6th obviously is worse, but it's so sprawling and it's unprecedented. This is a case that so plainly, if anyone had done, they would be going to jail. And this is the one that he just, even if you see him as Houdini still, and I don't, he's getting clobbered all over the country. But even if you did, this is the one where, right, even Houdini meets his match when, you know, in that finally, and this is the one.
This is the punch in the stomach.
Exactly. Where, yeah. Exactly what it was, right? It was the big punch, and he didn't quite, yeah, and he, yeah.
No, it was a surprise punch.
Right.
Yeah, so that's Houdini. That's how he died. Some guy came up
and
punched him in the stomach. So yeah. Hence the explaining my reference.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so this, okay, and so this one could come up because they can bring it up at any point. When will this trial take place?
Well, so let's go from the time of indictment. I thought after Corcoran, it was pretty close. But now we have this report of the new evidence from the months before of the, as I said, him looking at it personally, moving boxes around, et cetera. So that's just.
What's Corcoran? Tell me Corcoran.
I'm sorry. Too elliptical. Corcoran is the lawyer who spoke with Trump around the time he violated.
Okay.
Has been ordered to give it all up and has given it all up. I mean, unless he took the fifth, but we'd know that, I think. So I thought that put the bow around the case, but then we find new evidence that they've developed anyway, but he just doesn't, I can't think about, and I've talked to different prosecutor friends who are generally regarded as sagacious on these matters. And we also can't think of, it's pretty damn close. You know, I think he's got the case pretty well wrapped up. Now, pretty well in DOJ terms, you know, could mean 3 months, whatever. But once he brings it, it goes more cleanly to trial, I think, than the other cases. So I'm totally spitballing when I say July or August, but I'm not spitballing when I say less than a year thereafter. I think this one goes to trial. Certainly, it's in the heart of the election, which is all mind-boggling in and of itself, but it doesn't risk being after the election. This if I had one bullet and I was Trump's lawyer and could get rid of one case, definitely this one.
Which brings us to January 6th,
yeah.
Which, as you say, far, far more complicated. What are the possible charges in January 6th? Because there seems to me they go all the way to seditious conspiracy, you know.
Yeah.
Conspiracy. So what are the range of the charges and how fast could this happen? It seems like you're saying not fast.
Well, sort of, I mean, I think it's a really good point because we think of everything as sprawling, but they really are sort of maybe half a dozen separate charges. And the easiest way to think of them is the different chapters that the January 6th committee very deftly presented in serial hearings. So there's the charge involving the whole attempted coup, essentially, at the Department of Justice and installing a flunky there.
Is that illegal, though?
Yes.
Okay.
I can double back, but yes.
Because of the intent.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fraud on the United States. Yeah, it's all an attempt to defraud the United States, which is to say the people of the United States, of the winner of the election. Basically, there are two general crimes. Well, let me go on the different crimes, because it is okay. There's that. The phony electors.
Remember that
another one. Right. And that actual stuff in Georgia, or the trying to browbeat state officials.
And by the way, let me ask you this, just as a
second. All right, but the big enchilada, of course, is January 6th itself. Sorry, go ahead.
No, yeah, but I just want to go back to Fulton County. And if she indicts him on the phone call, it's also a federal election. It's a federal crime, right?
Well, she can't indict on a federal crime, but it's one reason why, and this is like a federal court law school exam, but it's one reason why Trump may actually be able to take the state prosecution and transfer it to federal court, which has all kinds of implications, including a much better jury pool for him.
For him?
Yeah, so it's weird, but the jury pool in Georgia, one's driver's license and one's voting rolls or whatever. But, you know, Georgia is, they call it purple, but it's really super red and super blue. And yeah, the federal court jury pool, it's a much more conservative pro-Trump jury pool, it turns out. Broader, basically, not just Atlanta.
Okay. All right.
But the big thing is if they go to federal court, we're tied up in sort of legal hell for a long time.
Really? Okay.
Legal purgatory? Yeah. You know, it's never happened. But I mean, the whole idea of a state law violation tried in federal court and a federal judge with state law, you know.
Okay. That slows that down. But does that slow down Smith?
Not at all.
Okay.
Got nothing to do with them. Yeah.
So he can't bring the same case, or can he?
Yes and no. He can bring the same facts. It's just a different crime. It's federal crimes, and it's, you know, conspiracy to defraud the United States or obstruction of the January 6th.
Okay, so let's go through the range of them again. So okay. There's because I did a little detour there by saying, isn't that phone call a federal crime? But let's keep going.
Just to say, a lot of things are both federal and state crimes. And, you know, the way the law goes, you can even bring both. There's not a double jeopardy issue.
Oh, good.
But basic way, the easiest way to think about it, because we all live through it, is the different things that the January 6th committee displayed. So I may even forget one. But so the different crimes are, you know, DOJ, coup, phony electors, browbeating of different state folks. The whole Eastman thing is a conspiracy crime. But then finally, the reason I wanted to segment them is he has, again, while we've been focused on Manhattan, Smith has made huge strides. So he's now, you may have seen, Mark Meadows, who is the most culpable person next to Trump, has really stayed out of trouble with some good luck and good lawyering. He's been ordered to testify by a trial court, and the Court of Appeals has now affirmed it. So his timeline is short to show up and either plead the fifth, and then the DOJ has a hard decision on its hands, or to actually, you know, do what he's supposed to do as a public servant and give it all up. And not just him, a lot of Trump charming circle like Stephen Miller and Ken Cuccinelli, et cetera. But he is the big guy.
When you say give it up, do you mean he takes a plea? He says, don't put me in prison.
Give it up, I mean, he talks. He tells the truth. But if he says, I take the fifth, the DOJ, normally he's so up there, they'd be very reticent to give him immunity. If you give somebody immunity, then they have to testify because they can't incriminate themselves anymore. And his lawyer, savvy, you know, former DOJ guy, will probably push for it. But DOJ could instead say, no, screw it. We're going to charge you, even though it could take a long time. Maybe then you'll consider cooperating. That'd be the choice. Either we'll bring you right now to trial on your own, or, okay, we'll give you immunity, you son of a bitch, and now you testify against Trump. But Meadows breaks January 6th wide. Oh, and of course, our buddy Mike Pence was just this week said his quixotic speech or debate clause defense, which we could spend an hour on, but it's just basically full of shit, has given up. He's thrown in the towel. That's got to be a political calculation. But he will testify about, you know, all the one-on-ones that Trump, when he, you know, tore him several new ones on January 6th itself. That makes Smith really closing in on the January 6th case itself, as opposed to some of the others. So it strikes me possible that that one could go out in advance. But still, all the January 6th stuff, as you've said, is it's not just sprawling. It's like, it's unprecedented. And is this the right way to do it? It'll look different if they actually convict in Mar-a-Lago. Will they still be, you know, going after him?
Well, can they bring a specific charge in January 6th that they can prove quicker?
100%.
So they can bring that he can, because the timeline here, I mean, we do have an election coming.
Yeah.
But basically, there's a reason that when Trump was in the courtroom that he wasn't like, you know what, I'm just going to be cool as a cucumber. I'm not going to scowl. I'm going to look happy. I'm beginning to understand why that might have been impossible.
Yeah. Look, they could call Mike Pence, call Mark Meadows, call Cassidy Hutchinson and rest and be able to prove the January 6th case if they're looking to do it in a quick, clean way. You know, it's so clear what he did. It's so patent. I can't even think of the reasonable doubt for, you know, he's trying to scuttle the hearing. It's express.
Okay, let me ask you something. The thing of not telling people to go home right away, which everyone was telling him to do, right. Which is what you do, right? This is what you do if you're the president.
The shit is at the fan, and oops, yeah.
Oh, my God.
He resists that and says he thinks Pence should be hanged. That's Mark Meadows to testify, I mean.
But other people too, right? Or is
right.
that
I'm just saying they could really segment this off and do it separately.
Okay, what crime specifically is not calling off the crowd?
No, well, it's part of a conspiracy to obstruct the January function of government, in this case the January 6th congressional hearing to certify the electors.
Okay. And that crime is what would the sentence be on that? That kind of crime, that crime specifically.
Right. Specifically. So it's funny.
I don't care what the sentence is really that much.
Yeah, I know what you mean, right? Because no matter what we say about, same as any other person, it's going to involve complicated things when it's time to actually, you know, a lot of people would be jump for joy to, you know, just think about his hair and the toilets and whatever, the indignity of it. I don't know if the country as a whole will, in fact, send Donald Trump to jail. But the sentence for this is real time and something like, you know, it's got sentences are really mercurial in the federal system, but say 5 years. I mean, it's real time. There's no way not to have time unless the DOJ somehow asks for no time. But we should have such problems is my view of this.
Or there's a day in prison. I mean, I'm not saying that's right. The right thing to do.
Right.
But there's a day or,
for example, you know,
for example. But, oh, boy, it's ugly, isn't it?
I mean, the whole thing is so ugly, Al. It's you know, it's such a fucking ugly period. And I mean, it's all him. What, you know, back to Tennessee, which I know will be in your monologue. But that ugliness, that's, you know, that's government not to achieve anything, even in a Republican point of view. That's just government to, like, tear people down and be able to be, you know, spiteful and put down your enemies. It's so base.
You know, it was heading that direction. It's been heading that direction for a long time. But
you lived it, yeah.
But Trump accelerated. I lived it. But Trump accelerated it. You know, but for Stormy Daniels, if, you know, he had to bribe her to get elected. And so that's why that, I guess. But, yeah, it just, It makes me shiver.
It is one of the imponderables. If it, you know, take Russia out of the equation, take Stormy Daniels out of the equation, does he win? You know, so it's just a way of framing this Bragg's case, which people are taking pot shots at, as a righteous case. You know, this was really to slide through to election. You know, remember the Bush score at the very end? It came out that Bush had a DUI, and that was seen really. But, you know, he came out and said, yeah, it's an accurate story, and the people got to decide. You know, it's exactly the thing that after the Access Hollywood thing, et cetera, the people were denied their chance to factor in. And by the way, it really was pretty emblematic of the character of the 45th president, right? It wasn't simply a weird slip up. You know, this is who he is, a guy who shtups a porn star and lies about it, et cetera. And now lies about why he's lying about it. Oh, I just was worried about my, you know, Melania. That's really who we're talking about here.
And then there's a lie put to that, which was he evidently said to Cohn, maybe we can not pay her.
That's the other factual snippet that Bragg added. He really didn't add very much, but that point that blows out of the water, you know, this argument about Melania. And back to my point, my federal rule of evidence point, it's not even clear unless he testifies how he even puts that point in. But nobody's going to believe it now unless they think Michael Cohen is.
Just for everybody, it was that I evidently said to Cohen, maybe we can delay the payment and then after the election, then we won't have to pay.
It's so perfect. What you and Davis could do, Davis and Franken could do with that as a skit, it's just too perfect.
God damn, it's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, and he's in charge of the country, and it's only about him and the you know, just the lowest, vilest, you know, vermin stuff. It's even if it weren't criminal, but of course it is, and kind of day in, day out. But, you know, it's lying. It's the exact opposite of what, you know, people had in mind when they founded this hope of all time government and country, right?
And the suffering of people,
yeah,
or separating children, and
I mean, almost zealous about it. I'm back to Tennessee. I'm really revved up about Tennessee this morning.
Right? Well, say what you. I mean, obviously, in Tennessee, that was just revenge.
It's completely unnecessary, right? They have a supermajority. But I want to say something because I don't think people have seen that tumble to this. There's a unanimous Supreme Court case on point, and I don't see how they get around it. In 1965, Julian Bond, they wouldn't seat him because he was against the Vietnam War. And 9-0, the court says, you can't do that. He has at least his First Amendment rights. Now, they're going to try to stay in Tennessee. Oh, it's not their opinions. It's that, they were rabble-rouser types. But that's total crap. The only people who've been expelled have been, you know, sex assailants and bribe takers and stuff. Everyone knows that's just a lie. So it's going to go to trial. And I think Tennessee, even with all the change that's happened in the Supreme Court and the greater deference to the states, I just don't see how they are able to keep it.
Well, someday we'll get into the Supreme Court because this is an illegitimate Supreme Court in my mind. And decisions like Citizens United and Shelby County to me were based on lies. Citizens United, in the opinion, Kennedy said there'll be transparency because there's the internet and people will find out who gave what to whom. He said that in the opinion, right?
Yeah. And it's gotten worse since. And may I say, although I doubt it would have changed the outcome, I think the country sorely missed your trenchant saber-like questioning when the different nominees. You were the sharpest questioner there, and I was one of the many stupid self-inflicted wounds that the Dems did when they went after you. But I digress.
Well, I think we covered it and did it pretty efficiently. And God,
my summary is Mar-a-Lago. My summary is Bragg, Delphic, he'll tell us later, and Mar-a-Lago. That's my panoramic summary. My summary of the panorama. Maybe you can characterize it. I'm not good on long intros.
Okay. That's what I wanted. I wanted the panorama, and you gave it to us, and listening to it just depressed me.
that
this guy was our president. But thanks, man.
And it's not just the president, right? I mean, it's all the ripples in the polluted water. I mentioned Tennessee, but thank you so much, Al. It's a really both fun and like I say, I feel like I've arrived. So I'm glad to be here.
Well, I hope you enjoyed listening. That beautiful music is by Leo Kottke, the great Leo Kottke. I want to thank Peter Ogburn for producing this podcast. We'll talk again next week.
If one big beautiful bill has left you with one big confusing question, turn to BHM CPA Group. Their experienced professionals break down complex changes in tax law, accounting, and business regulations so you can make informed decisions with confidence. Simplifying the complex is what BHM CPA Group does best. Don't wait. Visit bhmcpagroup.com and let's get to work. BHM, because running a business is hard enough. Your finances shouldn't be. Visit bhmcpagroup.com today.